For me?
Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's share.
I'm just embarrassed.
Today's share. You're on Tony time. Today's share is sponsored anonymously. Thank you for that. Just one quick mazel tov. I like to mention some of the mazel tovs from the Tuesday morning share. Mrs. Graff had a baby boy, so mazel tov to her. Even though I'm sure her schedule changed and she hasn't attended the share in quite some time, today for sure she has a good excuse. But she definitely deserves a big thank you for those who come to the share, for myself and for everybody. When the share started over a year ago in the other room, she was from one of the first ones, Mrs. Graff and Mrs. Goldschmidt, Mrs. Lederreich, Mrs. Kranz and Mrs. Rosenblum, from the first ones. Then Baruch Hashem it picked up, but so that's just a mazel tov that we should continue to have simchas here in the Tuesday morning share and throughout Passaic and Clifton and Gans Klal Yisrael. Okay, so for today's share we're going to discuss today and Bez Hashem next week. We will discuss the halachos of Chol HaMoed. We'll take a break from Hilchos Brachos. We'll continue Hilchos Brachos. We're not finished with Hilchos Brachos by a long shot. And we'll continue Bez Hashem after Pesach. We'll discuss the next two classes, Chol HaMoed. If we have a third class before Pesach, then Bez Hashem will discuss some halachos of Pesach. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, in Perek Gimel, says, Kol HaMevaze Es HaMoedos, anyone who disgraces the Moed, disgraces the festivals, afal pi, even though sheyesh biyado Torah umaisim tovim, even if such a person who disgraces the festivals has in their bank account, they have Torah and maisim tovim, ein lo chelek to olam haba. They do not have a portion in the world to come if they disgrace the Moedos. And the commentaries over there, the Mefarshim explain that this is referring to Chol HaMoed. It's not talking about Yontif itself, it's referring to the days of Chol HaMoed, the intermediary days between the first days of Yontif and the second days of Yontif, whether it's Pesach or Sukkot. And this means that whoever does forbidden melacha, or in general, conducts themselves in a weekday manner, has no chelek to Olam Haba, which seems pretty harsh. Don't get nervous. It's clear from the Mefarshim over there and from the Rambam that this is only somebody who does this consistently, again and again and again, and this is somebody who is aware of the halachos, who knows the halachos, and even so, just goes ahead and doesn't care, and does malacha on Chol HaMoed and treats it like a regular weekday. If any of the halachos that we'll have the schus of learning now, somebody didn't realize these halachos before, many halachos of which I myself didn't realize until I learned these halachos, and then you realize that in the past you have transgressed, that this Mishnah doesn't apply, but just to see how harsh it is, the halachos of Chol HaMoed, and to know the halachos clearly. You'll be surprised when many of the halachos we're going to learn. I myself was surprised until I learned these halachos. We spent a year and a half learning this here in the Kailal in the neighborhood. So let's take it step by step. First of all, what clothing is worn on Chol HaMoed? What type of clothing is one supposed to wear on the days of Chol HaMoed? So the Mishnah Brura, the Chafetz Chaim, that's who we usually paskin like, together with the Shaar Tzion, who Chafetz Chaim wrote the Shaar Tzion on the bottom as well. He says that although you don't need to wear Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed, but your clothes should be one step above a regular weekday. However a person dresses during a weekday, it could be they always dress very nicely. Let's say they have an important job, they're a lawyer, a secretary job, wherever it is, a person needs to dress a certain way during the week. A person should dress one step above that on Chol HaMoed. It doesn't necessarily have to be every item of clothing, but perhaps a nicer pair of shoes, a nicer skirt, a nicer top. Men have a Chol HaMoed suit, meaning it's not a suit that they would wear on Shabbos, but let's say during the week they don't wear a suit. On Chol HaMoed they have a special Chol HaMoed suit. Just to point out, this halacha is the Mishnah Berurah's opinion, and the Mishnah Berurah is the lenient one in this halacha. There are plenty of other paiskim that say that a person should wear their Shabbos clothing the entire Chol HaMoed. Shabbos or Yontif, that those that say that Yontif clothing is supposed to be nicer than Shabbos clothing. Fine, so nobody really holds that you have to wear Yontif clothing, at least that I saw offhand, but there are those that say that a person should wear their Shabbos clothing the entire Chol HaMoed. Those of you who have been to Eretz Yisrael, you don't even have to be in Eretz Yisrael, you just go to the amusement park, you'll see the Hasidim, they wear their shtreimels the entire Chol HaMoed. There are definitely paiskim that paskin like that. We could go with the Mishnah Berurah that is lenient in the matter and says that you don't have to wear your Shabbos clothing. It's enough to wear just one step above your regular weekday clothing. Of course, for a single girl, I tell all my students, just because they wear uniforms the entire week doesn't mean, as long as they don't wear their uniform on Chol HaMoed, then they have fulfilled this obligation. Obviously, that's not what it means. How a girl would dress on a regular Sunday, a normal day throughout the week, maybe throughout the whole summer in camp, on Chol HaMoed, they should wear one step above. That is in regards to clothing on Chol HaMoed. Also in regards to the meals. What does a person need to eat on Chol HaMoed? So the Mishnah Berurah says in Tav Kuf Lamed that it's nice to wash. On Chol HaMoed, in honor of the Yontif, in honor of the Chol HaMoed, it's nice to wash. On Pesach, of course, this means having matzah. And the Mishnah Berurah says that it is definitely not an obligation to wash. We're not obligated to wash like we discussed last summer as far as the women's obligation to wash on Shabbos and Yontif. But on Chol HaMoed, it's not an obligation to wash, but it is a mitzvah lechatchila. It is preferable in honor of Chol HaMoed. On Pesach, it's not a big deal. There's nothing else to eat anyway. So you might as well, if you're going to be eating matzah, you're going to be eating matzah with whatever you have. So have in mind that this is for the honor of Yontif. The Mishnah Berurah says that to fulfill this mitzvah lechatchila, again, it's not an obligation, but this mitzvah lechatchila, this means to have one meal by day and one meal by night. Twice a day. It doesn't have to be three like we have on Shabbos, but one by day, one by night. Rabbi Yashiv says that this night meal does not need to be at night, you know, when it's dark after Tzeisa Kochavim like we have on Friday night. It just means a regular supper, your dinner, evening meal, that fulfills this mitzvah of the evening meal. Fine. When we discussed halachos of benching Bez Hashem, we continue with halachos brachos, we'll discuss if, let's say, you wash on Chol HaMoed and then you forget Yalav Yava, we'll see that you don't need to repeat the benching because it's not an obligation, so you don't need to repeat the benching if you do decide to wash. But we'll hold off on that when we get back to halachos brachos. So that's as far as the clothing, and that is as far as the meals. In general, there is a mitzvah of simcha to be happy on the Yontif, not just on Yontif, but also on Chol HaMoed. So that means for men, that means eating meat and drinking wine by each meal. Though some people are very machbid on this, to have fleishiks by Yontif and on Chol HaMoed. For those that wine does not give simcha to, so there's a big discussion in the Paiskim, can a man fulfill that with grape juice instead of wine? Some say yes, some say no. For women, the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara tells us that women do not find simcha necessarily, I'm sure you'll find some, but they don't necessarily find simcha with meat and wine. What's the way that a woman finds simcha? What does the Gemara say? To buy clothing. And we all know that's true. So the way a woman fulfills that mitzvah of simcha is to buy clothing. So you could tell your husbands, there's an obligation for you to buy new clothing for Yontif. Of course, it doesn't mean that your husband has to buy the clothing. He could tell you, you could go buy the clothing. And if they have tainus, they could definitely come back to me. The Gemara says in Be'ah that any money that you spend for the purpose of Shabbos and Yontif, you'll get back. It's not in the cheshbon. Hashem has a certain cheshbon, how much money a person will make throughout the year. On Rosh Hashanah, it's decided. Let's just give a number of $100,000 a year. Let's just choose an easy number. If a person spends money on food, so then that comes off of the cheshbon. It comes off the calculations. Any money spent on Shabbos and Yontif and Torah and mitzvos, that does not come off that cheshbon. If a person spends $1,000 for the purpose of Shabbos, then they'll get that money back without coming off. It won't be deducted. So you could go ahead and spend as much money as you want, put it on the credit card, but just keep in mind that the Shaar Tzion does say that it has to be in the realm of something that's al pi derech hateva to get back. If somebody's husband has just a regular, ordinary job and they spend $1 million in Macy's, obviously Hashem's not going to make a miracle that it's going to, the person's going to get it back. You spend the regular amount if it's for the purpose of the honor of Yontif, honor of Chol HaMoed, then a person is fulfilling that mitzvah. All of this is on women also, like we're saying, even though this is a mitzvah shehazman grama, even though this comes at a set time, it's a time of Yontif, but this mitzvah of simcha is explicit in the pasuk that says, v'samachta b'chagecha ata uvincha uvitecha. So it says uvitecha, it says your daughters, which is referring to the girls, that shows us clearly that this mitzvah of simcha applies to women as well. Fine, that's just an introduction to the halachos of Chol HaMoed. What we're going to discuss now, and this is going to be the main part of the halachos of Chol HaMoed, is doing melacha on Chol HaMoed. Especially, it's a nice follow-up. We've been spending many weeks on the halachos of melacha on Shabbos. Last year, before Pesach, we spent 3 classes on the halachos of Yontif, doing melacha on Yontif. So now let's discuss doing melacha on Chol HaMoed. People all over, myself included, used to think that You know, Malacha and Chol HaMoed is a free for all. It's weekday. You could do whatever you want. That is very much not the case. Malacha is forbidden to be done on Chol HaMoed. There's a big machlokas amongst the Rishonim. That which is forbidden to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, is that forbidden midderaisa, or is that forbidden only midderabanan? But that is clear that it is usher to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. However, there are five exceptions when a person is allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. Even if it's midderaisa, that it's usher midderaisa, but the Chachamim explain, they have the right, they have the license to explain when it is permitted. There are five exceptions when a person is allowed to do malacha, and we are going to discuss three of them. Two of them are really not so nageya on a day-to-day basis. Three exceptions we're going to discuss for doing, three heterim for doing malacha on Chol HaMoed. The first heter number one, leniency number one, when a person is allowed to do malacha, is if it is a tzorech hamoed. If it is a festival need, tzorech means a need, moed means for the yontif. If there is a festival need, you have a purpose, a reason to do this malacha for the purpose of yontif, then you are allowed to do the malacha. This does not mean necessarily for simchas yontif or something specifically for the yontif itself. Rather, any need, any benefit that I will be getting from this malacha through the duration of Chol HaMoed, or the second days of Yontif, right? The second, you have the first days, then you have Chol HaMoed, then the second days. If you will have any benefit from this malacha during the days of Chol HaMoed or the second days of Yontif, that classifies as a tzorech hamoed, and that would be heter number one. However, included in this exception number one, that a person is allowed to do malacha, it's not enough to be only a tzorech hamoed. It has to also be what we call a maisa hedyot. Right, you'll know the expression hedyot as the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. Hedyot means a simpleton, a regular malacha. Maisa hedyot, maisa means an act. A maisa hedyot means that it is a simple act and it is not done by a professional. The opposite of a maisa hedyot is a maisa uman. An uman means a craftsman, a professional. To have this exemption number one, to be allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, you need to have both. It has to be both a tzorech hamoed and a maisa hedyot. You need both conditions. So now let's give some examples of exemption number one. This has to be a tzorech hamoed and a maisa hedyot. Let's say it's Chol HaMoed and I want to pick some flowers. Why do I want to pick some flowers? Because I want some flowers for the second days of Yontif. I'm cheap, I don't want to buy flowers for my wife, so I pick flowers from the garden, and, of course not, and I pick the flowers. Is that allowed on Chol HaMoed? Of course, on Shabbos and Yontif, that's not allowed to be done. That's the Malach of Kotzer. We discussed the Malach of Kotzer. That is Kotzer, picking flowers off of the ground that are connected to the ground. That, of course, is not allowed on Shabbos or Yontif. Is that allowed on Chol HaMoed? So the answer is yes. If it is for the purpose of the second days of Yontif, so it's Tzorech HaMoed it is, of course it's a Maisa Hedyot. You do not need to be a professional farmer to pick flowers. Anybody could just go pick flowers from the ground. Therefore, if a person wants flowers for the second days Yontif, that is allowed to be done. However, let's say you're sitting on a picnic. You go on Chol HaMoed, on a Chol HaMoed trip, you go to the park, and you can take a picnic. So you lay out the blanket, you're sitting, and you're picking up grass, you're ripping out grass from the ground. That is a malacha. It's a maisa hedyot, but it is not a tzorech hamoed. You have really no purpose in picking the grass off of the ground. You're just randomly doing it. Some people always find that they need to be doing things with their hands. Person picking grass off the ground, I would think that that is not allowed. Maybe we'll be able to find a heter shortly, maybe today's year or the next class, but that should not be done. Of course, a person will never do that on Shabbos and Yontif, that's a malacha. If they don't have it, tzorech hamoed, they don't have a need to do it, that should really not be done. Vacuuming. A person is allowed to vacuum on Chol HaMoed. You have a dirty floor, You need to vacuum it either to keep it clean for Yantif or to keep it clean for Chol HaMoed or for the purpose of the second day's Yantif. That is definitely a legitimate Letzarech HaMoed. That is not the Maisa Uman. You don't need to be a professional to vacuum the floor. You're allowed to mop the floor. We discussed the halachos of mopping the floor. Besides that, it's a Darabanan based on Choresh, but we said as far as Chita, there's issues as far as Chita. That is also allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. You're cleaning the floor, obviously, for the purpose to have it clean right now. Again, even if it's not for the beauty of Yantif to have clean, stam, you want to have a clean floor, that is a Tzorech HaMoed, and of course that is a Maisa Hedyot. As far as writing on Chol HaMoed, is writing allowed on Chol HaMoed? So the practical halacha, I'm sure many of you know, but let's discuss how we get to this halacha. Standard writing, regular writing that we have, we paskin that is considered a Maisa Hedyot. Not everybody agreed to this. It used to be that people did not necessarily know how to write. Only special professionals knew how to write. And now everybody knows how to write. Therefore, we paskin that writing is considered a Maisa Hedyot. It's a simpleton. It's a regular act that anybody knows how to do. Since it is considered a Maisa Hedyot, a person is allowed to write Letzorech HaMoed. If you have a reason to write something, you need to write a shopping list, which we'll discuss the halachos of shopping. You need to write directions to your Chol HaMoed trip. You have some type of reason that you need to write something. Again, even if it's not for the purpose of Simchas Yontif, but you have a need, you need to write something, you are allowed to write because we assume that is a Maisa Hedyot, and you have a Tzorech HaMoed. Let me just finish the section on writing and then I'll take your question. As far as special calligraphy or special painting, there the Paiskim say that should not be done because that is not a Maisa Hedyot. That's done special by a Maisa Uman. Even if you have a purpose for doing it on Chol HaMoed, usually that will not be allowed because that is considered a Maisa Uman. That's considered a professional's act. But a regular writing, that is considered a Maisa Hedyot. Stam writing for doodling. All my students wanted to know, are you allowed to doodle on Chol HaMoed? So again, there are people that they feel like they always need to have their hands moving. Probably, I told them that should not be done. Even if you assume, especially doodling, that's a Maisa Hedyot, that's just a simple act, but where's the Tzorech HaMoed? You don't have a purpose in doing that. So some say, no, I need to doing it because I just like doodling it and I enjoy it, and that's my Tzorech HaMoed. Not so simple. We'll discuss those types of halachos. I'll tell you what Rabbi Sachs told me, and we'll discuss as far as apple picking and fishing and things like that. But generally, I would imagine doodling should not be done. As far as writing, I'm sure you all know the halacha is that when a person writes on Chol HaMoed, what do they need to do? They need to write with a shinui. Why do we need to write with a shinui? A simple understanding is, it's a little bit complicated, but just to keep it simple, the simple understanding is because it's not so simple that writing is considered a Maisa Hedyot. Like I told you, that we do paskin that it is a Maisa Hedyot, but just to cover all grounds that we hold that it is a Maisa Hedyot, so what we tell you to do is you write with a change. A shinui means a change, to do something in an abnormal manner. If you do it with a change, a little bit different than I usually do it, then even if it is a Maisa Uman, that'll change it, that'll make it into a Maisa Hedyot. So you need to write with a shinui, even if you're doing it for the purpose of, you have a purpose for it on Chol HaMoed, still it should be done with in an abnormal manner in a shinui. What is the proper shinui to use for writing on Chol HaMoed? Anybody? Wrong. I was waiting for you to say that. I did it to my students. Also, the Mishnah Berurah says, I shouldn't say wrong like that. There are those that say that's what to do, but we paskin like the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that the proper shinui is to write with the paper on a slant. To write with the paper on a slant. Now, what does that mean? That if you have lined paper, no, it doesn't just mean to just go like this. When you have lined paper, let's say this notebook that I have lined paper, so of course I wrote on the lines. But you hold it like, you have the paper like this, doesn't make a difference how the paper is on your table or on the desk. You write diagonal, across like this, across like that. We paskin that, Mr. Brewer says, every line should be like, everything that you write should be like that, and so too if the paper doesn't have lines. You hold the paper on a slant, and you write across, not usually when you have a paper, even without lines, you hold it, you have it on like a perfect rectangle in front of you. You should have it crooked, and you write across crooked on the paper. The reason why the Mishnah Berurah says that we paskin that the proper shinui is not to hold the pen or pencil in your weak hand and not to hold it in a funny manner, like between the wrong fingers, is we're going to see shortly that that just adds to the tircha, that just adds to the bother on Chol HaMoed. We'll see shortly that the whole purpose of not doing malacha on Chol HaMoed is because of tircha, is to minimize the tircha, to minimize the trouble that a person goes through on Chol HaMoed. So says the Shaar Tzion, and the Chafetz Chaim explains that that just makes it more bothersome. I have to hold it in my funny hand and in my weak hand, and I have to hold it in a funny manner. That just makes it more troublesome. The best shinui that we paskin, the Mishnah Berurah says again, not everybody holds like this, but this is how I'm going to tell you to do, to hold the paper on a slant, and not just to hold the paper on a slant, to write a cross on a slant on a diagonal. You had a question?
Yeah, so on my... My kids like to play games, like, you know,
right.
Games or
Pictionary or these type of
things. Yeah,
right.
Anything with writing. So is that a problem?
So that's not a problem. It's a Torah. Let's assume it's not a problem.
Right.
Assuming that the enjoyment, and this is our game, this is our Chol HaMoed activity one night. So that, we'll assume that that is the Torah HaMoed. We'll get more into those details. Let's assume that's a Torah HaMoed. As far as how to write, so however they would make a picture on the paper, they should hold the paper maybe sideways or diagonal and write it like that. But they don't have to hold the pen in a funny way. They shouldn't hold the pen in a funny way.
What about if you have to, like, write a check?
Oh, so I meant to say that. I meant to say that before I took questions, because I figured, so it's a very good question. Sometimes, let's say a check or some type of official statement that you need to write on the line, so fine. So you can write on the line. Maybe don't write on the line, right? Maybe, like, raise it by a centimeter, and, you know, obviously the check will be fine, and, you know, you do like that. But don't do instead to hold the pen in a funny way. You have to write like that. You know, you'd be allowed to write like that. Again, because technically we paskin really that writing is a ma'isa hedyot. It's a tzorach ha-moed. And really, but just we do the shinoi to make it for sure a ma'isa hedyot. So if you need to, you'd be allowed to. Yeah.
Back to vacuuming, does that apply to cleaning up? Like ma'isa,
whatever you're allowed to do, of course you're allowed to have a non-Jew do.
Is it considered ma'isa hedyot or the cleaning?
Yeah, they're not such professionals. They come off the boat and you just hand them a vacuum cleaner and you pay. Yeah, it's not the. No, I'm saying they can really do good jobs. But it's not a professional. That, you know, chances are.
Professionally.
Right. So professional cleaning carpets. That we're going to say, yeah, professional shampooing the carpet and also we're going to give some examples of Ma'isa Uman shortly. So far, we just gave examples of Ma'isa Hedyot. Yeah, that won't be allowed. That's what I'm saying, that should not do that. You shouldn't.
Crayon?
You shouldn't. Also crayon.
Like
crayon, when you say crayon, I'm thinking of children. Children, you don't have to worry about.
Yeah,
children,
myself, like using a marker or crayon.
That's not enough of a shino.
No?
No, just the fact that you use a different utensil to write, that's not,
really?
I don't think so.
What about writing while in capitals?
That's not. The writing is the same writing. The writing is the same writing. Fine, so those are some examples of a ma'isa hedyot. Let's give some examples of a ma'isa uman, a skilled labor that is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. Let's say you have a broken ring. A ring breaks and you want it to be fixed on Chol HaMoed. Even if it is for the purpose of Chol HaMoed, or you want to have it fixed for the purpose of the second days of Yontif, that cannot be fixed on Chol HaMoed. You want to give it to a professional jeweler. If you want to just bend it yourself, of course, that's obviously a ma'isa hedyot. You just try to bend it into shape. But if you want to give it to a professional jeweler, that is not allowed. That is a ma'isa uman. This is true even through a guy. Anything, any act that a Jew is not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed is not allowed to be done through a guy either. So if it's a ma'isa uman and it's not allowed to be done, if it's not a tzorach ha-moed, for sure it's not allowed to be done. But if it's a ma'isa uman, it's not allowed to be done even through a goy. One thing that we mentioned before by writing, which is important to keep in mind, is that anything that is a ma'isa uman, it's a skilled laborer's work, if you do it in a haphazard way, that turns it into a ma'isa hedyot. So therefore, by sewing, we paskin now, we understand that sewing is considered a ma'isa uman. That's considered a skilled labor. Only certain people know how to do it, and a woman, even though technically any woman could really go ahead and learn it, but we paskin that sewing, it's clear in the Gemara, that sewing is considered a ma'isa uman. So therefore sewing would not be allowed on Chol HaMoed, even if technically it's a tzorach ha-moed, but it is a ma'isa uman, and sewing would not be allowed. But if a person wants to go ahead and do it, let's say they're really desperate and they really need it, so you could do it in a crooked zigzag fashion. And if you do it, if you're willing to do that, maybe you'll fix it after the yontif is over. But If you just need it, you're desperate and you need it for the second days, then you would be allowed to do it in a crisscross fashion or a zigzag, some type of inferior work of an amateur and not considered professional. Holding the needle different is not a shinui, similar to holding the pen in a different way. That's not considered a shinui because that doesn't change anything in the final product. It has to be done in a funny way. I saw brought that if a person wants to sew in a button, so the button has four holes, if you put in only two holes, you only go through two of the holes, that's considered like a temporary fashion. After Yontif, if you could do it better. But if you just need it for now, you would do only two of the four holes. I believe I saw that from Yaakov Kamenetsky. That is also enough of a shinoi to make it into a ma'isa hedyot. As you pointed out, all home renovations are considered a ma'isa uman. Repairing shoes by a professional, fixing furniture professionally, shampooing the carpet, waxing the floor, all of these are considered a ma'isa uman, of course, and not anybody could just get up and do it, and therefore those are not allowed to be done, even for the purpose of Tzorech HaMoed, because that is a Ma'isa Uman. But just to temporarily stick in a leg to a table, a leg to a chair that breaks, that you're allowed to fix. If you need it for the second days of Yontif, we spoke about that's Makkah B'Patish. Remember, we said perhaps that's even Muksa, because you may come to fix it, right? We had two classes on Makkah B'Patish. That, of course, is a Malacha. But if you need it for the Moed, and that's considered a Ma'isa Hedyo, just to stick it in, then that will be allowed. You had a question?
What about, let's say, you have one pair of shoes, and you're here, like you need it.
So that makes it a Tzorech HaMoed, but it has to be done in a Ma'isa Hedyo. The best would be if you can't do it in a Ma'isa Hedyo fashion, to go buy another pair of shoes. Yeah, we'll discuss shopping, but we'll see. It'll be better to buy.
Yeah.
Crocheting? I don't know if crocheting is a Tzorech HaMoed. Usually when people crochet, it's just something for when I have a grandson, I'll give it to my grandson. That's not a Tzorech HaMoed. It should not be done. Unless they enjoy it, and that's a Tzorech HaMoed, very hard to rely on.
I learned recently that you can't cook for a guy.
We're going to discuss cooking. Let's discuss cooking. Well, that's next. We're going to discuss cooking.
I had a question. Do these also apply to Isruchak?
No, it doesn't apply to Isruchak. Okay. Isruchak. No, it's over.
Except
for school. Number two. No, that doesn't apply for Isruchak. That was all exception number one. It's a Tzorech HaMoed and a Ma'isa Hedyot. Exception number two, which she had mentioned. Exception number two is what we call Ochel Nefesh. Food preparation. Preparation of food. Now you'll remember from the halachos of Yontif that Ochel Nefesh is permitted even for Yontif. So the question you asked as far as cooking for a goy, cooking for an animal, cooking for after Yontif, those halachos will be the same for Yontif, for Chol HaMoed as on Yontif. But as far as cooking, that is allowed. You're allowed to cook and bake on Chol HaMoed. And like we just said, you're only allowed to cook and bake on Chol HaMoed for the purpose of Yontif. You're allowed to cook for second day's Yontif and for Chol HaMoed itself. But you're not allowed to cook for the sole purpose of after Yontif. Let's say you're making a Sheva Brachos or some type of party after Yontif. So on Chol HaMoed Pesach, you may not be interested in doing that anyway because it's Chomet Pesach, like a food. But okay, let's say there's something, some type of chicken, I don't know, you can make and you'll put it away for afterwards because now you have free time. But Chol HaMoed Sukkos, of course, that there's no issues of Chomets. Of course, that's an idea. Someone, I have some free time, I'm making a party right after Yontif, let me cook something on Chol HaMoed or bake something on Chol HaMoed for the purpose of after Yontif. That is not allowed. It has to be for the purpose of Yontif. A person is allowed to cook a lot for the second day's Yontif, and if I have leftovers, fine, I'll have some leftovers, or I'm having guests, I'm not sure how much they eat, let me cook a lot just in case. That is 100% permitted. Even on Yontif, that is permitted. But as far as cooking for the sole purpose of after Yontif, that is not allowed. Not only is cooking and baking directly allowed, but anything that has to do with direct contact of food is permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed. Meaning, a person is allowed to fix a stove on Chol HaMoed, or have somebody else come fix the stove. Even if it's done professionally, very good, because this heter number two of Ochel Nefesh is permitted even a Ma'isa Uman. A regular Tzorech HaMoed was exception number one that is only allowed for a Ma'isa Hedyot. Exception number two of Ochel Nefesh is permitted even if it is a Ma'isa Uman. I had a big discussion with friends of mine. If is cooking and baking considered a Ma'isa Uman or a Ma'isa Hedyot? Practically, it's not so Nogeya, because even if it is a Ma'isa Uman, cooking and baking is allowed on Chol HaMoed. It was Nogeya for something else. But for fixing a stove, fixing a refrigerator, fixing a microwave, those, of course, are all Ma'isa Uman. Not anybody could just get up and do that. Those are all Ma'isa Uman, but that is allowed if it is for the purpose of Yontif. Let's say It's the last day of Chol HaMoed, and you're going away for the second day's Yontif. You're going to family or hotel, whatever it is. And the fixed man says, oh, I have some time now. Today I could come. So he can't come. Because even though we said a Maisi Uman is allowed, but that's not a Tzorich HaMoed. If you're not going to be using this refrigerator or this stove or this microwave on, okay, microwave, unless you have a Pesach microwave for Chol HaMoed Pesach, it has to be a Tzorich HaMoed. So if it's just for the purpose of afterwards, that is not allowed also by the extensions. If it does not come in to direct contact with food, then that is not allowed. That is not included in Ochel Nefesh. So for example, a dishwasher is not allowed to be fixed on Chol HaMoed. That is a Maisa Uman. To fix a dishwasher is a Maisa Uman. And it's even if it is a Tzorich HaMoed, but that is not, doesn't have the heter of Ochel Nefesh. It doesn't come into direct contact with the food, and therefore you don't have that heter of Ochel Nefesh. A table, like we said before, a can opener, those are all that you may assume that, oh, that has something to do with food, but that is not allowed. That doesn't come direct contact with the food, even if a person places the food directly on the table, but that's not considered directly connected. That's Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, and therefore we don't have this heter of even fixing it in a Maisa Uman. We're going to discuss shower. Very good. We're going to discuss that next. All of these things that were included in Ochel Nefesh, that is not allowed to be scheduled for Chol HaMoed. Meaning, let's say you have time to fix one of these things on before Yontif, but you don't need it right now, and you're, let's say, going away for the first days of Yontif, to schedule and say, oh, tell the fix-it man, okay, don't come now, I'm too busy now, do me a favor, come and fix it on Chol HaMoed. That we don't let. That's called Kiva Malachta Lamoed, to wait for Chol HaMoed and push it off until Chol HaMoed. That either way is not allowed. Definitely a person has the opportunity to fix these before Chol HaMoed. Definitely that should be done before Chol HaMoed.
What if they do not have the opportunity?
If they do not have the opportunity, then you'd be allowed. But then that's Ochel Nefesh. If it's Ochel Nefesh that you need it, and okay, even though it's a Maisa Uman, then that will be allowed. An offshoot of Ochel Nefesh is, as you pointed out, still included in Heter number 2, is what we call Tzorchei HaGuf. Guf means the physical body, and Tzorchei is the needs of. We paskin that Tzorchei HaGuf is included in Ochel Nefesh. So if there's something that essential physical needs are allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. If it is L'Tzorich HaMoed, and it is allowed even if it's a Maisa Uman, because we're saying that Ochel Nefesh is allowed even a Maisa Uman. So a person is allowed to call a plumber to fix their toilet. A toilet is an essential physical need, and that is allowed if it is a Tzorich HaMoed. Let's say the same type of idea. A person's toilet gets broken and they need to have it professionally unplugged, drained or something like that, right before the second day's Yontif, and they're not going to be home second day's Yontif. Or it breaks in the guest room and you're not having guests second day's Yontif. So you don't really need that bathroom and you're not going to be using it second days. If sometimes you use it, then fine. But if it's not a Tzorich HaMoed, it was not allowed to be done, even if it's not L'Tzorich HaMoed, even though it's Tzorchei HaGuf, but it's not considered a Tzorich HaMoed if you don't need it. But if you do need the bathroom, or not just a toilet, but also a shower, an air conditioner, a heater, a boiler system, those are all essential Tzorchei HaGuf. Those are allowed to be fixed if it's a Tzorich HaMoed, even if it is a Maisa Uman, because that is included in Ochel Nefesh. Taking an x-ray, having a shot, a cavity that hurts, those are all things that, of course, we would not do on Shabbos or Yontif. But if, as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned, if a person has a specific need that they need to do that now, that is allowed. As far as a cavity, if a person has a specific cavity that really hurts, that is allowed, that's painful, that's an essential Tzorchei HaGuf, that is allowed to be filled on Chol HaMoed. But stam to have a checkup on Chol HaMoed, that is not allowed, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a dentist. Of course, you would never just schedule a checkup for Shabbos or Yontif. That's not allowed. But if it's physical Tzorchei HaGuf, that your person has a specific cavity they need filled, or something, a doctor, something physical, that something that they're painful, they need now, that is considered Tzorchei HaGuf, and that is allowed. I'm going to have to hold off on questions, I'm sorry. That is allowed even for, even if it is a Maisa Uman, a dentist, of course, is a Maisa Uman, a doctor, that is allowed if there is a need for Chol HaMoed or Yontif. As far as, let's say a person only has one pair of glasses and the glasses break. So we discussed this when we were discussing Makom HaPatish. If it's something that you could just pop back into place. So of course that's not a ma'isa uman. That's just a ma'isa hedyot. As long as you have a tzorach ha-moed, you're allowed to do it. That's heter number one, a tzorach ha-moed with a ma'isa hedyot. But for it to be considered a tzorach ha-guf, if a person only has one pair of glasses, or this is the pair of glasses that they need, okay, maybe they have also a pair of reading glasses, but that, you know, they're not able to use throughout the rest of the day, and they don't have lenses. If they need those pair of glasses, and it needs to be only fixed through a ma'isa uman, a craftsman, a professional optometrist to fix it, then that is allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. That is also Tzorchei HaGuf. Most important, a person could put on makeup and powder and perfume and cosmetics and lipstick. I believe we discussed that in regards to the halachos of Tzeveya. Probably, anyways, those are all Ma'isa Hedyot. Anybody could really just throw on some makeup. But even professional makeup, which my wife does, as anyone needs. But if anyone needs professional makeup on Chol HaMoed, I would imagine that that would be allowed. Even if it's done in a Ma'isa Uman, a professional way, but it is a tzarchei haguf. A person wants it for the purpose of, let's say, second day's yantif. They're going somewhere and they want to have it done professionally, or let's say they're having family pictures on Erev, second day's yantif. I know my family used to do that a lot, the family's all together. So you want to get professionally done. So you do that, and even if it's professional, that should be allowed because it's considered tzarchei haguf. It's essential, of course, and that would be allowed.
Taking pictures is allowed.
We'll talk about taking pictures. I don't think we're going to get to it today, but we'll discuss taking pictures. I know, we're going to discuss taking pictures. We're not going to be able to get to it today. That for sure we'll talk about later. But when the whole family was together, all my siblings with all the kids and the Inuklach. As far as professional makeup, I'm talking about. As far as professional makeup, I'm talking about professional makeup. The pictures, Bez Hashem, we'll have to get to. We'll get to that, Bez Hashem, next class. Yeah, well, what do you mean? You take a picture on Shabbos Yantif? It's a malacha, so we'll have to discuss if and why it is permitted to take pictures on Yantif. Yeah, what I'm saying, but it's not so simple. Okay, of course it's a malacha. You never take pictures on Shabbos Yantif. Of course it's a malacha. It's kosev, it's writing, other malachas, but electricity perhaps. But definitely pictures is a malacha. We'll have to, okay for sure, but we'll have to discuss if and why it is permitted to take pictures. That is heter number two. Heter number three is something that some of you have probably heard of, which is called a dover ha'aved. A dover means a thing, a matter. Ha'aved, which can get lost. A person is allowed to do a malacha, this is heter number three, to prevent a loss. Now, this is means that if someone would refrain, if someone would not do a certain malacha that they want to go ahead and do, then that will cause a monetary loss or a loss to possessions. Then you are allowed to do that malacha. If it's a considerable loss, it's a hefsed gadol, hefsed meruba, then it would be allowed even a ma'isa uman, even a professional act. And it could depend what's considered a large loss of money and what's considered a small amount of loss of money. That could depend on each and every person. We have, you know, that halacha in many areas of halacha. As far as hefsed meruba, a great loss. You know, for some people, a $50 loss, okay, nu. But for some people, $50 is a lot of money. It could depend on each and every person. Perhaps in each situation, a person would have to ask a shayla at the time as far as what's considered a great loss and what's considered a small loss. If it can wait until after yantif without any further damage or any further loss, also, you can't do it. This is only if it's a dover ovid that needs to be taken care of right now. For example, let's say someone has a leaking roof, and the roof is, you know, it's raining and it's leaking into their house, and it's dripping, let's say, right onto their couch. Or if they don't take care of it now, then the leak is going to get worse, and it's going to, you know, it's going to ruin, and it's going to ruin their roof, or ruin their couch, or ruin their possessions. That is a dover of it. A person is allowed to have that professionally fixed. Chances are that's, you know, expensive, and a person is allowed to have that professionally fixed. Of course, on Shabbos we would never fix a roof or something like that, but on Chol HaMoed that would be allowed to be done, even to call somebody else to do it if it is causing a loss. If a person, hold on one second, if a person's, let's say, the front door, the lock is broken on their front door, a person is allowed to have that professionally fixed, because even if it's not a definite loss, but if a person is afraid maybe someone could break in and steal silver and steal a lot of things, so that is a potential hefsid, then that is allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. However, I'm going to hold off on question, okay? However, this is only allowed if you are losing something that you already have, but not to gain more money. This is clear in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch. This is not even a discussion. It's only if you have something and you will afraid that you will lose, perhaps, but you may lose that money or possessions, but not to do malacha in order to make more money. Which leads us to the discussion in the 2 minutes that we have as far as men going to work on Chol HaMoed. There are plenty of people that do not go to work on Chol HaMoed because, generally speaking, going to work is just to make more money and making do, of course, they would never do that on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's a malacha. Very good. So as far as gaining more money, there are plenty of people that do not go to work the entire Chol HaMoed. Why do we find so many people go to work on Chol HaMoed? Because the understanding is the following. The heter that each and every person needs to ask for their own personal situation. Because they say, the Poskim tell us, that perhaps it's not considered that I'm trying to gain more money, but I can lose my job, or I have clients. And if I don't go into work, I may lose those clients. I have a good relationship with my boss. If I don't come to work, I may lose that good relationship with my boss. I'm entitled to a certain amount of off days. If I take off the whole Chol HaMoed, I will lose those off days. So we need to find certain things that, the certain items that I have already, and I'm losing those things. If we could halachically find something that I have already and I will lose, then we could say, that's included in a davar abe, then I could go to work, I could take a bus, I could drive to work, I could write. Those are all things, of course, we would never do on Shabbos or Yantif. On Chol HaMoed, we can perhaps get that would be permitted if we can fit it into the level of Davra Avid. But again, like I said, every single person, every single man needs to ask a situation for there. If they have a very easygoing boss and they're, you know, entitled to plenty of off days, let's say they're the boss and they could take off whenever they want. So they, you know, they want to take off next. The best will be able to take off on Chol HaMoed. But again, in every situation, there could be definitely heterim, for sure. There are heterim to go to work on Chol HaMoed. Each and every person needs to know for themselves. Okay, time flies. It's already 10 o'clock. Bez Hashem, next time we will discuss shopping on Chol HaMoed as far as food and clothing. We will discuss haircuts and laundry. And we will discuss taking pictures. We will discuss apple picking. We will discuss driving and carrying and other any other loose ends.